Welcome to the Kindling's Muse podcast.
Hi, this is Dick Staub with another in our Journeys series, conversations with thoughtful creatives and cultural influencers on their life, work, and personal journey. Today, we continue our conversation with Dan Allender. I'm back with you. Dan Allender was the salt of the earth before he actually himself had been salted, which is a phenomenal story. It reminds me of Mark Driscoll, who started leading Bible studies at Washington State University after The Simpsons because they noticed that there were Bible references there, and they wanted to know what the Bible had to say, and his girlfriend had given him a Bible before he left for college, thinking it might help. So Mark Driscoll got out a Bible and started leading a Bible study.
After The Simpsons.
After The Simpsons and before he himself was a follower of Jesus. Look, you know, if you think God isn't at work, you can't be listening and watching. And if you think God isn't at work in the Northwest, you can't be paying attention to some of the outlandish people that God has brought here to do the work of his kingdom. There you are at college. You went there because of your Doors collection, which you did not want to split up. And now, did you during college make your decision or not? I mean,
well, a third of a decision. probably the decision that there might be a God.
So you became a theist.
Well, at least I didn't know the word, but bottom line, I knew there had to be something other than me. At least if there weren't, there wasn't any point to be me. And so at that point, that came in the context of the cartel that I worked with putting out a contract on a DEA agent, and all of a sudden I went from being a middle-class drug dealer to being in the big time, and I knew that either I was going to jail, I was going to die. And I remember at that point in time saying to Tremper, I want to go to church. I want to
really?
Go with you.
Really?
And there was sort of a move in my own heart to say, all right, God, if you're true, you're true, and I guess it's right, and you know, whatever.
Yeah.
That was sort of my conversion point of
yeah.
whatever. That night, and it really has marked my whole life from that point in time, and that is the first sermon. In one sense, if you can say, sort of the movement toward God, very clear movement. Maybe it wasn't a full conversion, whatever you call a full conversion.
Right.
But that evening, the pastor started talking about Balaam's ass. And, I mean, that was what the sermon was about. And I'm thinking, oh, my goodness, what have I got? What kind of religion have I gotten myself into that Balaam's ass is talking to him? And about halfway through
I'm in an episode of Aesop.
Halfway through the sermon, he changed to Balaam's donkey.
Yeah.
Oh, it was such a relief. It was at that point that I realized that
he was talking about an animal.
All we're dealing with is the possibility that God could use animals
yeah.
and not body parts. And
yes.
it was a relief to me. So from that point, there was at least some movement and some sense of reading, thinking, yeah. talking with other believers.
Now, why did you end up at seminary, though?
You're
a third of the way into a conversion, and it was it the record collection again?
No, it was Tremper, though. And that is, it was 6 weeks before we graduated. He asked me what I was doing after graduation. And
yeah.
that was a first time. I mean, the 70s. You got to remember, it's the 70s. And at that point, I had never thought about what we were going to do 6 weeks later when I graduated.
Yeah.
And he looked at me and he said, well, what are you thinking of? And I said, well, I don't know. I think probably law school. He said, well, you've never taken your LSATs. I was like,
but I've taken LSD.
Well, what is LSAT? And he, you know, told me what it was. I was like, well, bummer. That's pretty exclusive of him. And he said, well, what are you going to get a job? And I said, no way at all. So he said, well, why don't you go to seminary with me? And I was like, what? I don't think so. And he said, well, you know, just come. You can think about God, study a little bit, you know, do whatever you want to do. But so we got an application, and I had all these questions. I had no idea. Personal relationship with Jesus Christ, I had no idea what he was talking about.
Yeah.
So I tried to fill it out. Tremper, laughing in the background, finally said, let me fill it out for you. So he filled it out, and he was accepted on my behalf to Westminster. He's already going there. So the two of us ended up going. And that was the context where it really did dawn. Whatever awakening that had begun at maybe a 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock in the morning, it was really the first year in seminary, the gospel simply grabbed me.
Wow, and the lights came on.
And in the sense that he is the sovereign God of the universe. He
yeah.
is the author of my life, and
yeah.
that he has absolute authority over yeah. every portion of my
Not
life.
Not just some quirky little subculture.
No.
It's the whole enchilada.
The whole enchilada.
Yeah, exactly.
And somehow
and that's actually what happened to me in my freshman year of college. I'm a little on a faster track than you.
yeah. Well, you're the beloved, right?
Exactly. Well, the beloved is on a faster track. But no, that's how, that's what actually what led me to a firm conviction of faith was when in the book of Romans, the phrase all have sinned and all and all and all. And suddenly I realized, oh, wait a minute. They're not just talking about Americans and these quirky little fundamentalists. This is the whole world that we're talking about. This is the creator of the universe. Oh, okay. And that, it's so stupid that we don't see that or understand that. But I didn't, and you obviously didn't either. So now, how did you end up heading off on the psychology path?
Well, even there, I wish there were a portion of my life that made sense, that had a little bit of linearity to it. But I think...
when you hit the elephant tonight, it'll all make sense.
Well, yeah, right before. No sailing magazines.
That's right.
No, I think the honest answer is that God has written at least a good portion of my life to reveal something of his goodness, but a goodness that is unpredictable. I think that's the mark of what I look at my own life and say...
Unpredictable goodness.
There is an unpredictability that you can't manage God by saying, I'm going to go to college, get a 40-year degree, go on, do graduate school, do this, that, and the other. Sometimes he picks people like me that simply don't seem to fit.
Yeah.
Don't fit the model, don't fit the experience, and then they get thrown into being the president. I mean, I never thought I would believe, let alone believe to teach, and then teach and be a president of a seminary. I think it's very, very, very not only ironic, but just plain funny.
You're known around the issue of healing for sexual abuse. How did that whole issue become your niche or one of them?
Well, I was a psychologist. I'd gone through seminary, gone into a local church, met a gentleman by the name of Larry Crabb, who really did tutor, disciple me, open the door to thinking about the issues of what does it mean to be in a one-to-one conversation or two one-to-two conversation about the meaningful matters of life in a way that some call counseling, but I just call having a good lunch. And in that context, I went to graduate school, like many of us do. And in that context, it became clearer and clearer there was so much to be learned. And as I learned it, got into talking to people, and I'm now a professional. I remember the day very well. Woman whom I had worked with for maybe 5 or 6 sessions looked me in the eye, out of the blue, says, do you know anything about sexual abuse? And I graduated, had a PhD, I was a psychologist, pretty young one, but remember thinking that if I tell you the truth, that I'd never have studied it for one single minute. I've gone through 3 years of seminary, 2 years of a master's program, 6 years of a PhD program, all excellent programs, 11, 12 years of graduate education, not a single stinking minute on the issues of abuse.
Wow.
And I looked at her and I said, no, I don't know much. And she said, I know you don't. And if you're willing to work with me, I'll teach you everything I know. And that was truly about 1986, a journey that God has not graciously let me leave. And that has opened the door to things that I would never, never, never have thought I had the privilege to enter.
Why did she trust you with that?
A good question. Maybe she saw enough brokenness, maybe enough arrogance, maybe enough failure, maybe enough chutzpah, maybe, who knows, but God was gracious enough to have her ask that question.
So basically she shared her life around this issue, and it was your first education.
It was.
Wasn't there a lot written already about it? Was
1986, it? Not a lot. Shall we say the feminists were writing about it, but certainly in Christian circles, it was an unknown, unaddressed topic except for a few decent books.
Join us for our next podcast with Dan Allender. Thank you for listening to Journeys on the Kindling's Muse.